It's time for Big Blue Kickoff Live. Only on Giants.com.
Smith back to throw. Has time over the middle. Intercepted by Roll again. Antrell to the 20. Needs a block. Pinball down to the 5. Roll call time. Antrell with back-to-back picks.
Manning back to throw. Steps up. Deep ball down the middle of the field.
He's got Cruz. 35, 30, 20, 10, 5. Touchdown, Giants.
Romo drops straight back to throw. Steps up. Gets hit by Canty.
Pass intercepted by Jason Pierre-Paul. To the 10, to the 5. Touchdown, Giants.
There goes Wilson again. Trying to break to the outside. Wilson cuts it back to his right, needs a block, and Wilson's going to go. He's to the 10, 5, touchdown Giants, 97 yards.
Now here's your host, John Schmell.
Welcome to Big Blue Kickoff Live right here on Giants.com, 201-939-4513, 201-939-4513. Hope everyone's having a good Monday morning. Hope you enjoyed your weekend. The Giants do not have practice today, but they will be back at it on the practice field Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday, and then they will be ready to play on Saturday night against the Pittsburgh Steelers in Pittsburgh with kickoff time at 7:30. Well, training camp is 8 practices old, 9 days, 10 if you count the day they do their physicals and arrive, and we've seen a lot from these guys. And I think it's kind of a good day to settle in, kind of see where we're at, what guys you're excited about, what guys you're disappointed in, who you're most excited to see playing a game, which comes along on Saturday. And really, we're to the point here where you hear Coach in his post-practice press conferences, and he's saying things like, well, let's see what this guy does in a game. Let's see how he does in a game. And he's right, especially for the linebackers, for the linemen, for the safeties, the guy, the running backs, the guys that hit, they need contact. You want to go against live competition. And yeah, full pads in practice, you hit a little bit, but it's not the same as a game. And we're to the point now where you kind of know what you're going to know about these guys in practice, but you learn something a little bit different when you get into a game situation. So I think that's what the players and the coaching staff are really looking forward to on Saturday against the Steelers. You're not going to see the ones a whole lot, but I think you'll see a lot of the linebackers go at it with one another, get that competition rolling. All those guys need reps to show what they can do when they're on the field. I think past David Wilson and Andre Brown, your third, fourth, and fifth running backs will get a lot of run. See who's going to be behind those two guys. Will it be Darrell Scott who's flashing training camp? Will it be veteran Ryan Terrain? Or will it be Michael Cox, the rookie? So all guys that will need these preseason games to show this coaching staff what they can do. And I think they're all positions that are exciting. And you take a look at it, and these guys have to do something to earn their spot on this roster. And we'll talk about the final 53 in a bit. We're not going to, take final 53 rosters on the air. But I have mine pretty much in hand. There's a couple things I'm still figuring out. But I'm more than happy to, just talk who your fringe guys are, who you think's going to come in, who you think's going to be there, and we'll kind of figure it out from there. 201-939-4513. 201-939-4513. Right here on Giants.com. Talking football. And we'll take your calls in just a bit. Also, hashtag Giants Chat on Twitter. And you're going to see your rookies for the first time, too. You're going to see your new Giants for the first time. The Brandon Myers of the world. The Martellus Bennetts of the world. Guys like that who Giant fans have been excited to see on the air and to see what they can do. And I think that's all, a lot of fun stuff for the Giant fans. We saw Brandon Myers in that two-minute drill yesterday end that two-minute drill in the blink of an eye. First play, he got behind the defense, beat Aaron Ross, scored a touchdown, two-minute drill over. And coach made the point that, you want to run that a little bit more, but the goal of the drill is to score, and we scored, so the drill is over. It was a one-play, two-minute drill. But you saw Brandon Myers get into that seam. Coach talked about in his post-practice press conference how he adjusted well to the ball in the air, and before that, adjusted his route based on the coverage, which, as everyone knows, is a lot of what this Giants offense is based upon. So I think that's a very good sign for the Giants offense. You've seen a lot of Sean Rogers on the first and second team. How is he going to do in a game situation? Still a large fellow. Will the Giants keep two pluggers? That's going to be something to keep an eye on. How many wide receivers are the Giants going to keep? That's something else we need to figure out. Are they going to keep 5 or are they going to keep 6? Those are all things that we need to figure out. And then you look at the defensive side of the ball. How many defensive ends? How many defensive tackles? So we're going to get into the preseason games here, and the Giants, the way they practice is going to start changing a bit. Not this week, but the following week and the week after. It's going to be more like almost like a regular season practice week where you actually do some game planning, you do some cards, and you get ready for the game rather than just doing fundamentals and drills. So it's very exciting. Things are ramping up. I'm ready to see some games. I'm not going to say I'm sick of practice yet, but look, I've seen these guys in practice enough where I know what they bring to the table. And besides the new guys, who's going to break out? I think that's a question, too. And we talked about a couple of the guys, Ruben Randall, David Wilson. And I think it's all very interesting. 201-939-4513. Let's go to our phones and start out with – let's go to Hank in Manhattan first. Hank, what's going on, pal? How are you?
All right. How are you today?
I'm doing all right, Hank. What's going on?
Well, I kind of just tuned in. I missed the discussion about Randall. I just heard you say Randall and Wilson were two players that were brought up, and I wanted to mention one thing about Randall, that he's in a perfect position to excel this year as a breakout candidate, because I think obviously Hakeem Nicks can't be guaranteed to stay healthy for an entire year. His knees are not the best.
His legs, period, not just the knees.
No, true, but that seems to be his Achilles, if you pardon that pun.
Fair enough.
I think that given the fact that in a limited role last year, if you recall, he had like 19 or 20 receptions, 300 yards, 15.6 yards per reception, and three TDs, shows you he's got the ammunition to excel this year. And I think that even now he's getting more in sync with Manning, with Hakeem, not 100% obviously. So yeah. I think that they're in sync together, and I think he's just on par for an excellent year.
If I had to pick one player that's looked the best in practice in the first 8 days of practice here at the Quest Diagnostics Training Center, I would have to say it's Ruben Randall. And, it's one of those eye test things. Look, I don't know if he's running his routes exactly right. I don't know, all those technical stuff that I'm sure Kevin Gilbride Jr. is going over with him after practice. But just on the eye test, you watch him go against these cornerbacks, and it looks like you're watching the better player in those matchups. He's going against Prince, who's also had a very good camp, and he's played well, and a veteran like Corey Webster and Aaron Ross. So it's not like he's going against twos and threes here. He's going against the Giants' top corners. And when he goes up against them, he just looks like he's the more physical, more athletic, and the better player.
I think he's hungry also. And I think one thing to take into consideration, we don't know about Brandon Myers yet and how he'll perform. We do know that Martellus Bennett last year had 600-plus yards, five TDs that are now off to Chicago. There's more opportunity, I think, for Randall as well, until we see more of Myers actually, once the season begins. So the opportunity is there, and with you telling me how he looks so far, I mean, I'm just psyched to see him.
Hank, appreciate the call, my friend.
You bet.
And look, Ruben Randall's look great. And it could make the decision on Hakeem Nicks after the year that much easier. And every practice Hakeem Nicks misses, it's another opportunity for Randall to shine. So you can keep that in consideration, too, when you break down this wide receiver core. But Randall's looked fantastic. And I think a big part of it, and Kevin Gilbride Jr. said this to me a bunch of times, the Giants wide receivers coach, he's just taking the game more seriously. He's better in the meeting rooms. He's gotten over that immaturity that plagued him the first half of his rookie season. He's figured things out. And he's getting better and better and better. He's got the size, he's got the speed, and if he gets his head together, and it looks like he is, Ruben Randall can be one heck of a football player. 201-939-4513. Jason is out in Montana. Jason, good morning.
Hey, how you doing, John?
Doing all right, Jay. What's up?
Doing good, man. Hey, you know who I'm looking forward to? Adrian Robinson, man. I liked him when they drafted him, and I knew that he was a little raw. So it's really good to not put too much strain on him last year to build up his confidence, and he's looking really good this year. What do you think?
I think he's still raw. I wouldn't expect the sun and the stars from him. However, you're seeing him flash a lot more in practice this year than you did last year. He certainly has the size. I mean, he's built like, you know, three quarters of an offensive tackle. He's a big guy, but he can also run. And I think what I really was impressed by this year, he hasn't really dropped anything in practice. His hands have been very, very reliable. And in that way, I think he's made a lot of steps. But for now, the Giants will run some two tight end stuff. But I think pretty solidly, Myers is one. If Bear's at tight end, he's two. And then you have Robinson coming at number three. But he certainly is showing potential. And maybe it's one of those deals where he'll get better throughout the season and do more and more and more as the regular season goes along.
All right. Hey, I just got two more quick ones.
Sure.
How's Wilson's pass blocking coming? I know that they – I think they did some pass blocking drills yesterday or sometime during the weekend.
Look, you did. Yeah, I mean, look, Wilson I think is to the point now where he understands his pass protection assignments. And I'm not sure if that's necessarily the issue anymore. The bigger issue is whether or not he's willing or able, quite frankly, if he's physically able to do it, get in front of a 265-pound defensive end coming at him at full speed trying to kill his quarterback. Can David Wilson hold up in that spot and physically complete the block? And we're not going to know that until he gets into a preseason football game, because as much as they hit in full pads, it's still not a good enough representation of what happens on the football field.
All right. And well, he's looked like he put on a little muscle.
Definitely thicker.
I've seen him doing.
I agree.
Yeah. What about Michael Cox?
Michael Cox has flashed speed. He's flashed some size. He's actually done a little bit in kickoff return, which could really help him make this team at some point, because he's going to have to be good on special teams. Whether or not the Giants are going to trust him to be their third running back, not quite sure yet. I think we'll have to wait and see. Running backs, very much like some of those other positions I mentioned, you kind of have to see it in a game to see what he does. If I had to guess, they'd want more of a veteran to back up Brown and Wilson. So if I had to guess now, I think they try to sneak Michael Cox onto the practice squad and develop him for another year. Remember, he was very raw coming out of college.
Right. All right, well, I always appreciate it. Thanks a lot.
Hey, anytime, Jason. Thanks for the call. 201-939-4513, hashtag Giants Chat. On Twitter, let's go to Max in New York. Max, good morning.
Hey, how's it going, guys?
Doing all right, Max. What's up?
I had two questions. My first one was, with the backs, the Giants' defensive backs last year and their problems, Webster didn't have a great year.
Yeah.
How much do you think they rely on Amukamara to really step up this year?
I think Prince could very well be the guy this season, based on especially what I've seen in training camp, in addition to, you know, his first-round pick pedigree. I think Prince could, by the third or fourth game of the regular season, be their quasi-number one corner where he's covering the other team's best wide receiver. I'm not sure they'll do it right away, because Corey Webster's done it for so long, and he's a good veteran, he's a good teammate, he's a good player. But I do believe Prince is playing well enough to the point now where he can be tasked to do that at some point during the regular season. So I think my answer is yes. They're going to rely on him an awful lot to be a big, big part of the secondary.
And just one more.
Sure.
You, along with a lot of other guys, have you know, raised about Randall in camp. So does that rule out the chance of Lewis getting the number three receiver job, or is Lewis Murphy still in it? Is that still a competition, or you think Reuben will probably get that rather easily?
If Reuben Randall's not the number three wide receiver, I will be utterly shocked.
Okay.
I'm not going to say it's his job, because anything can happen and the Giants don't give out jobs, you know, 8 days into training camp. But based on what I've seen, I mean, Reuben Randall has made, boy, I could think of a half dozen plays off the top of my head where you're like, wow, that was a heck of a play. And I, frankly, haven't seen Lewis Murphy do it more than once, maybe. So Randall's outplayed him in camp, and it's not close. I think Murphy's going to be the number four guy. They'll use him deep. But Randall is number three, and I don't think he's going anywhere.
All right, thank you.
Hey, appreciate the call. Thanks a lot, Max. 201-939-4513. I'll get to your questions on Twitter as well at hashtag GiantsChat. I see a lot of them coming in. I'll get to some from last week, too. My man Mike Farmer, one of our loyal tweeters, was annoyed that they didn't take any Twitter questions on Friday's show. So I'll go back. I'll look at some of the Friday comments too, guys. Don't worry. I'll get you in. But let's stick on the phones for the time being on Big Blue Kickoff Live right here on Giants.com. Every weekday morning at 9:30, John Schmelk with you. And Len is down in Maryland. Len, how you doing?
Hey, John. How are you?
I'm good, Len. What's happening?
Good. Well, I'm starting to get a little excited here. Finally, a game week.
It sounds like you're on the road there, Len. What are you, in the car?
I'm in the car. Yes, and you know, looking forward to the weekend. Looking forward to a game, and I've got high hopes that if things work out, we'll see you. We'll be looking at a game every weekend for the next 6 months.
Sure. Len already driving to Pittsburgh for Saturday night's game.
I wish, but I understand the NFL Network is carrying this lot, so I will be. I am looking forward to seeing that.
That is one good thing I'll point out to all you Giant fans are out of market. If you have NFL Network, they will literally either carry live or replay every single preseason game. So if your game isn't televised live and you're out of market, you can find it on NFL Network. Just, you know, go to your guide or whatever and find it. You can DVR it and you can watch it whatever you want.
And it is live this weekend, John.
Nice.
Also the last one, the New England game, will be live. And as I understand it, well, of course, the Indianapolis game is on Fox. So three of the four will be live. I think the Jets game carries over to the next day. But in any event, John, I'm looking forward to seeing the defensive tackles. I want to see Sean Rogers and Hankins begin to exert their will. And I want the word to spread around the league when you come play the Giants this year. And you try to deal with those defensive tackles, Linville and Cullen Jenkins and Sean Rogers and Hankins, you better come prepared because you're in for a fight.
Yeah, you know, Len, it's funny. Talking to Coach Nunn, the defensive line coach, and Coach Herman, the linebacker coach, and, you know, we do these little coach interviews for our TV show that airs on Saturday nights on My9, and we ask them if there's one thing that – you know, you would want your team to be this year, what would it be, and how, you know, maybe different from last year. And both of them said, John, I'd be very disappointed if our teams weren't much more physical than they were last year. And I think that's a big focus for the entire front seven in camp, is to be
terrific,
more physical. But let's see it in the game.
Terrific, John. I am looking forward to that because you know where I stand on this from the end of the season last year. I've been saying to you, I want our defensive tackles to be able to punish those inside guys on the offensive line, and I'm glad to hear that the coaches are thinking that way too. One other point, you know, kudos to Bill Parcells, well deserved. You know, getting into the Hall of Fame, a nice speech the other night. I'm glad Coach Coughlin and the Mara family was able to get there for that. I'm glad he mentioned Ray Perkins. You may not remember, but, you know, 1979, we hired Ray Perkins, and things turned around almost immediately. It wasn't playoffs in that first year, but there was a different attitude on the team. And, of course, he hired Bill Parcells, and I was pleased to see Parcells give some mention of Perkins, who stayed with us for 3.5 years and got us into the playoffs for the first time in 17 years there in 1981. But I must say, John, I was a little disappointed that he didn't make mention of George Young, the old general manager. He hired Perkins, and, of course, he drafted Sims, and he drafted Taylor. And by the time Bill got there, Sims and Taylor were known entities. But hopefully it was inadvertent, leaving George out of the rotation. But I just wanted to mention George Young. And again, no way diminishing Parcells' speech for his performance, well-deserved, and he can do no wrong as far as I'm concerned. These are just minor points, John.
Well, you know what, Len? Honestly, I wish I could say I know for a fact that George Young's being omitted was an accident, but think of it this way. What did Bill Parcells also always have to say? If I have to cook the dinner, I want to buy the groceries, right? And when he was here with George Young, Bill Parcells did not pick the groceries. George Young had this way of doing things, and he decided who the Giants were going to bring in personnel-wise. So I would not be surprised if there was some type of conflict there between those two men along the way. You know Bill Parcells. The guy's stubborn. He wants everything his way. There's bound to be some back and forth there.
Yeah. And you know, John, we've probably talked about it too much because we're beginning to diminish Parcells' role in, Giants history, which was just absolutely fantastic. But I just wanted to make mention of Young, who was a fantastic general manager. Hey, John, I'll talk to you toward the end of the week. I'm really looking forward to these games getting started and seeing what these guys can do.
Sounds good, Len.
Thanks for taking my call.
Good to hear from you, buddy. Be safe. on the road. And, you know, I think it's a shame that Parcells did not mention George Young. And if he did omit him on purpose, I think that's a shame. Because I think a guy like Parcells, as great as he was, and he's a fantastic coach, Hall of Famer, he could coach my team any day of the week. Guys like that, and I'm going to throw in, for example, like Larry Brown, who's a coach in the NBA. They need almost a counterbalance in the front office to calm them down and to rein them in a little bit. You know, Larry Brown, when he coached the Knicks, every time somebody had a bad game, he wanted to trade him, he wanted to cut him. Oh, bring in Steve Francis. Oh, get rid of him, he stinks. I don't want to play this guy. He's in the doghouse. And, you know, you almost need a calming voice that you work with to make unemotional decisions. Because Parcells is an emotional guy. And I'm sure sometimes those emotions got the best of him. So I think it's important sometimes to have a guy to bounce stuff off of, to have a different opinion, and you go back and forth. And, you know, that's going to lead to conflict sometimes. But I think in the end, it's good for the team. And I think that's one of the reasons the Giants won those two Super Bowls. That it wasn't Parcells on his own coaching and making the personnel decisions. It was a combination of George Young and Parcells and, of course, all the assistants, ownership, and all that other good stuff. But I think those two guys together is in a lot of ways what really made it work and what made it special for the Giants. And Parcells did a great job on the speech. I thought it'd be a little funnier, to be honest with you. He's got such a great sense of humor. I thought he'd be popping jokes left and right. He went a more serious route, which is fine. It was a good speech. I enjoyed it. I watched the whole thing the morning afterwards. And he deserves to be in the Hall of Fame. And I liked his line about being near LT to keep an eye on him because, you know, when those lights go out in Canton, who knows what's going to happen. 201-939-4513. Hashtag Giants Chat on Twitter. We have some open lines if you want to give us a call right here on Giants.com. Again, or on Twitter at hashtag Giants Chat. Let's go through some of those tweets. We got a bunch of them coming in. Again, the question we posed on Twitter is, who do you think you want to see most in the Giants' upcoming preseason games? And I'm going to echo Len, too, for a moment. I'm really most excited about seeing the defensive line. Because one of the big reasons this team struggled last year, especially on defense, was that the defensive line couldn't stop the run. And they couldn't get to the quarterback consistently enough. And those two are obviously connected. And that turns into bad play by the secondary. So, let's see it. And I think that's something you can only see in game situations. It's going to be important to see that coming up on Saturday night. So I'm excited to see the defensive line. I want to see the defensive ends get to the quarterback. I want to see them, you know, get there and play good football. So I think those things are all very important when you get to the preseason games here. Let's get to some of your Twitter questions here and start with Kunal. Can't wait to see the monster get to the quarterback. And, you know, it's funny. I'm happy you brought him up, and he showed a lot of great stuff in the pass rushing drills early on in camp, and it was great. However, I will say this about DeMontre Moore. I made a point to watch him the last couple of days in some of these full pad, full contact things, including the 9-on-7 drill, which is a lot of, like, physical goal line type of play. And when these offensive linemen got their hands on him, they moved him around a little bit. And I think that's what Coach Nunn and the rest of the coaching staff was talking about with him when he came into the league. He has to get his body NFL ready and get strong enough to really deal with some of these bigger offensive linemen. So I think that's a progression we're going to have to see happen. Because I did see him get moved around a lot. And to DeMontre's credit, he cares. I've seen DeMontre Moore get beaten by an offensive lineman in practice. He literally gets mad, waves off the next guy, takes another rep because he wants to do better. And I know people talked about, oh, his practice habits weren't great. I haven't seen that at all. I think his practice habits have been fantastic. He's working a lot with Kiwanuka and Justin Tuck to get his technique better. I saw him working with David Deal the other day to help him with some technique stuff. I think the Giants see the promise in this kid. But I do think early on in his NFL career, he could have some trouble dealing with some of the run blocking, the run stopping, excuse me, when some of these bigger offensive linemen get their hands on him. They could toss him around a little bit. But, again, a lot of potential. Situational pass rusher year one, but if he can get some weight on, get a little bit bigger, be a three-down player, DeMontre Moore could be a star for a long time. 201-939-4513. Let's start with Russ in Kentucky. Russ, good morning.
Hey, what's going on, man?
Nothing much, Russ. What's happening with you?
Doing the military thing, you know. I've been online watching a couple of what was going on. I want to know how the defense is looking, because I was watching the Cowboys yesterday. Their defense is looking all right. But how is the Giants' defense looking? That's what I'm mostly concerned about right now.
Yeah, Russ, honestly, the Giants' defense has looked a lot better than their offense so far in practice. The secondary has been all over the football. They're tracking the ball in the air. They're going after it. They've gotten a number of picks. And look, in the first week of camp, the defense is usually ahead of the offense. I don't want to make too big of a deal about it. However, the defense, very early on in camp, especially the secondary, has looked very, very good. And that, to me, that's something you can get excited about.
Yeah. I hear you talking about Deontay Moore. I watched him in Texas A&M. He's going to be all right. As long as the defense, we get that pass rush going, we're going to be good.
No, I'm with you. And remember, to get the pass rush, you got to stop the run on first and second down. You got to get teams in second and third and long if you're going to rush that passer, Russ.
Yeah, that's why we got all the defensive tackles.
Well,
Big Hank, I was watching Big Hank. I'm like, man, yeah, we're gonna do some good. All right, it's good talking to you, man.
Hey, thanks for calling, Russ. I appreciate it. And that's why they call him Big John Hankins, because he's a big dude. And Sean Rogers is a big dude. I'll tell you what, he's still throwing people around, too. You know, I actually think he looked pretty good at defensive tackle. Frank Oakham, the converted offensive lineman, they put him at D-tackle. He moves guys around, let me tell you. That is one strong, big dude. 201-939-4513. Let's go to Brian in Pennsylvania. Brian, good morning.
Hey, what's up, fellas? How you doing?
What's up, Brian?
All right. You know what? You know, I just kind of, you know, just the second caller, so I really don't. I just want to say, you know, I think we got a good roster. I think that if we could remain healthy, which is a plus right now from a lot of other players I've been hearing about, but I think we'll do pretty good. I think Reese brought in some, you know, some okay linebackers, and I think that we'll be pretty strong there. Like the guy said before me, with the pass rush, our corners will, especially Prince. I think Prince is going to have a good season this year, and Reuben Randall. So I just wanted to know what you guys think about that.
Hey, look, in your second and third year is when you start having your draft picks pay off. You know, they can flash as a rookie, give you a little bit something. But when they're in here for a couple years, they get their weight training down, they figure out the NFL game, that's when they can really start becoming stars. I mean, look at, for example, Dez Bryant with the Cowboys. He's been great his first couple of years, but second half of last year in season number three, the dude was a beast. We're seeing Prince head into season three. It's really more like his second season because of all his injuries. Randall season two. Wilson season two. These guys are the next generation of potential stars for the Giants, and if they're going to get a lot better this year, that's where the improvement's going to come. They didn't bring in a whole lot of high-powered free agents or anything like that. They didn't have a top-five pick in the draft. Where the Giants are going to get better is guys like Prince, guys like Wilson, guys like Randall, getting better and becoming Pro Bowl-caliber players, and I think they're doing it.
Okay, that's one thing I do love about us. We build our team. We get guys, we draft good guys, and we build them up. And we're not always big on free agency. That's not always been us. We like building from within. That's why I love these Giants.
Appreciate the call, my friend.
Thank you.
Thanks, Brian. 201-939-4513. Let's go to Mark in, I'm not sure where you are, Mark. Mark, where are you calling from, pal?
New York.
Hey, Mark, what's going on?
Hey, how's it going? I have two questions for you. One, they raved about Justin Poole being, you know, real dynamic. He can play all spots of the offensive line,
yeah,
which, you know, is probably a bright spot considering their age on all different positions. How big of a factor is he going to play this year? Is he going to more, you know, have more of a learning year, or are they going to jump him right in there and, you know, is he going to play a big role?
Before camp started, if I had to guess, I thought he was going to win the right tackle job. Right now, I'd probably have to lean towards David Deal. He's played pretty well. He dropped a lot of weight, and Pugh's out with the concussion, so that's going to set him back a little bit. But even if Pugh doesn't start, he will be your primary backup, I think, at probably both tackle spots. So one way or the other, with the offensive line, the way guys get hurt in this league, the Giants will need Justin Pugh to contribute this year one way or the other, even if he doesn't start in week one.
And second question, what's the latest on Vontae Leach? Are they still showing interest in him? Have they backed off of that position?
I mean, they could still be interested, but honestly, I think Vontae Leach will end up heading back to the Baltimore Ravens. I think that's where he's bound to end up going. I think since he's not getting the money he's getting, he's there already, right? Isn't he with Baltimore already? Yeah, he signed. Yeah, Vontae Leach already re-signed with the Ravens. He's there.
Oh, my bad.
No, that's all right. No good. It's all good, man.
All right, thank you.
Hey, appreciate the call. And it's funny, when you get sit here in a training camp, you hear about some of the big stuff around the league, but other stuff just kind of flies over your head. And I heard about Devontae Leach a few days ago, and it just didn't even click. But, yeah, so Leach is back at Baltimore where we expect him to be. And, you know, the Giants are pretty happy with the progress Hanoski is making. I feel better about him being ready for the start of the season now than I did before training camp started. And I guess to a certain extent, I think I probably feel the same way about Jason Pierre-Paul, though backs are tricky. So they'll probably be a little bit more careful with him, I'm guessing. Though, you know, Hanoski's a neat too. But both guys, let me put it this way, I think both guys haven't had any setbacks and they're moving forward, which is the best thing you can say with any injury in training camp. 201-939-4513. Our pal Andrew's in New Jersey. Andrew, good morning.
Hey, good morning, John. I'm listening to the show. There's so many. It's so hard to pick what position group that I'm most excited to watch. I would say maybe the defensive tackles, like everyone's saying, but also you just mentioned the corner, Prince, because he's healthy and he's on the rise, and the number two receivers. I want to see the safety, Mundy. And also the new receiver that they signed. I forget his name, but he's real fast.
Lewis Murphy.
Yeah, Lewis Murphy. And even Hakeem Nicks is healthy, you know, or healthier. Cruz is back. So it's hard to pick, but I would say it's the linebacker, Keith Rivers, Shakes' his guy, Aaron Curry, and all the defensive tackles, especially the one from the Eagles. So I'm psyched to see those, I guess, two the most. And real quick on Parcells, observing Parcells and trying to analyze how he's different than other coaches and what makes him so successful, I think is that it's like his life was on the line, where I've watched other coaches like Coach Fassel and others that are crushed after a loss. They're real intelligent, you know, real hardworking, obsessed. But with Parcells, it seemed like it was all or nothing, like either he was going to win championships, be successful, or he was going to, you know, just be devastated and die.
No, so you're 100% right. And I forget which coach said this when they retired. It might have actually been Parcells after he coached his last game for the Cowboys. And he basically the theme of the retirement was, it hurts way more than I lose than I feel good after I win. And when you get to that point, it's hard to stick around because where's the payback? You're miserable all the time. And I think for a coach like that, yeah, you're right. It kills them when they lose so much that almost winning doesn't seem as special anymore. It's almost like a relief that, oh, I didn't lose. Thank goodness. It's not that it's great that I won. You know what I mean?
Exactly. And I'll talk to you later in the week. I can't wait. I'll get my dad back on too.
Sounds good, Andrew.
Thanks.
Appreciate it. 201-939-4513. Dennis in New York. Dennis, what's going on?
Hey, John. About 3-4 weeks ago, I asked you, because Nassib was going to be kept, more than likely was going to be kept on the roster, I asked where you thought, what other position might lose out, and you didn't know. But last week, didn't you declare some sort of list in which you saw how the Giants were going to make that accommodation?
I'm working on my 53. If I told you I had it final, I'd be lying to you. But I think let me put it this way. I thought before training camp started, Dennis, that the Giants would keep three quarterbacks. Now I know. I am utterly convinced that they're keeping three quarterbacks. Watching Nassib this first week of camp, he is not ready to be the backup. He's just not. He's not there yet. And that's fine. He's a rookie quarterback. You don't expect him to be. So they will keep three quarterbacks. If that's going to come out of the wide receiver position, maybe the tight end position, I don't know. That's a good question. I don't know quite yet. But I can promise you, this team will keep three quarterbacks.
Yeah. So you haven't worked out. Because what you answered, by the way, when I asked you the question was, you didn't think it was a position as much as it was the guy who would contribute most to special teams. In other words, forward, or at least, in other words, let's just say Barton,
right,
who doesn't contribute greatly to special teams. He doesn't have the heart for it or something. I'm not sure which, but, you know, might he lose out on his chance to make the roster because of that, because he doesn't play well on special teams?
Well, no, I think that's definitely a possibility, to be quite honest with you. I think you're looking at a spot where, look, you have to have guys that know how to play special teams, right? So you take some of these guys that maybe don't contribute much on special teams, and you say, well, where can we lose somebody here? And I think a logical place to look is probably a wide receiver, because a lot of times these, you know, that sixth wide receiver on your roster might not be able to give you a lot on special teams, whether that's a Barton or a Jernigan proves he can't be a return man. Maybe he's the odd man out. I mean, I think those are the type of hard things you have to look at and make a decision on. I think we'll better feel as these preseason games go along. But I'll stand with my original answer, Dennis, and now I remember the call, now that you bring it up. It will be somebody that was on the roster last year but maybe didn't give you a whole lot on special teams. That's the guy that's not going to make it this year, because Tom Coughlin will not sacrifice special teams. He just won't do it.
Sure, sure. Another question, please.
Sure.
Last year, I read or heard, somehow I came to understand that the Giants targeted certain levels of scoring. The offense had to score in this range, say 24 to 32 or something like that, and the defense had to score somewhere between 21 and 24. I don't know, you know, is there such a thing? I mean, is there, do teams actually target scoring ranges that they try to stay within?
I mean, I don't think they target scoring ranges, but I could tell you, in terms of statistics, our advanced statisticians that, you know, do this stuff for the front office, they have numbers where if the Giants offense or the Giants score 24 or more points, their record is, you know, whatever, 27-3. If every game the Giants defense allows fewer than 17 points, they are 21-3. So they come up with these metrics where they know that, look, if we score this many points or we hold the team to so many points, there's a really good chance we're going to win. But I don't think they go to the team and say, hey, guys, look, 16 is our magic number. Keep them under 16, we win the game. I think they just go out there and play as hard as they can. You know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah. All right. Well, I appreciate it. Thanks for talking to me.
Hey, thanks for calling in, Dennis. We appreciate it.
Okay.
Have a good one. I haven't talked to this guy in a bit. Shakes is down in Maryland. What's going on, Shakes?
What's going on, y'all?
How are you?
I'm all right. I'm doing good. I called in Friday's show.
Yeah.
And I had a little something, like a little debate for Paul. But they had cut me off, and so I didn't really get to respond to Paul's answer to what I was saying.
Okay, well, give it to me.
What I was saying was he was so down on Hurstley, but I was saying that it was because, you know, he was young. Like, it was his second season. You know, he got to get his feet wet. And what I was saying was that, to me, he has to hit them holes better, the right holes where he can plug things up. That's where I see that he lacks, because what I said was that he was good in pass coverage, and what I mean by that is he's always in the right spot to make an interception. When I watch him and I see games, he's always there to make an interception. Like, his awareness is like top-notch to me.
I agree, and I'll agree with you on one thing. I think his awareness is good, but I will disagree with you respectfully on one. The one thing Herzlick has trouble with is he doesn't move that well laterally or down the field. So if he gets stuck in coverage on a tight end or a running back, he's going to struggle there, because he doesn't have that natural speed or quickness to stay with them. So in that way, he does struggle in pass coverage. If I had to judge, if Herzlick has a strength, awareness is certainly one, but if you want to split it up between run and pass defense, to me, Herzlick right now is a much better run defender than he is a pass defender.
Yeah, see, I agree with that. Like, I don't want him, well, before Aaron Hernandez did what he did, but guys like him, like a Jimmy Graham or something like that, I don't want him covering him. No, I don't want that. I want him to stay in his area, his little area where he knows what's going on. And, bam, there you go. He can make a play, an interception. and do a Derrick Brooks and score, do something. But I just think that he was just too hard on Hrzlik, and we got to give him another shot. At least see what he do this year. I think he's good.
Hey, Shakes, you got to see it in the game. And that's the deal with Hrzlik now. We can watch him in practice all he wants. I got to see him do it in the game. But one guy that I'm actually excited about, the fact that he's healthy and he's still on the field and I liked what he's doing in camp, is Keith Rivers. If he can stay healthy, I think even more so than your boy Aaron Curry, I think Rivers could be an impact maker on this team.
Yeah, I like Rivers. I like Rivers. He just needs to stay on the field. And also what Paul was saying was that throw Aaron Curry in the middle, and I like that. If you have Rivers and Jaquan Williams on the outside and Curry in the inside, I like that trio. I like it. I really do. So, Aaron Curry, keep doing the good stuff that you're doing. I hear you doing good things, boy. Keep it up. Because, you know, I'm the only one that's been high on you since you signed. So, yeah. And the last spot for wide receiver, he said it would be between Barton and Jernigan. And I think Jernigan gets the nod because of special teams, because Barton don't know what to do on special teams.
Well, honestly, Jernigan, if he doesn't return stuff, he's not much of a special teams player either. So I think it'll be a wait-and-see scenario with those guys. Shakes, I appreciate the call, my friend.
All right, man. Take care.
You have a good
talk to you tomorrow.
Sounds good. 201-939-4513. Let's stick on the phones and say what's up to Andre in Brooklyn. What's going on, Dre?
Yeah, I'm chilling. I had a question about Jernigan, actually.
Sure.
Considering he has showed nothing since he's been on this team, do you think this is his last camp?
That's a good question. Do I think he's shown enough so far in camp that he's one of the five best wide receivers on the roster? I'm not sure. But here's the thing. If they look at the pure athletic skill set of the wide receivers, and even if maybe the other guys played better than he has, if they judge that Jernigan has enough upside where they still think he can get better and be a better long-term player than one of these other wide receivers in the bottom of the depth chart, you know, Jernigan might still win that battle. Remember, he was a draft pick, too. The Giants don't like cutting their draft picks. So that's another thing to keep in mind. But have I been impressed with what Jernigan showed? Do I see a lot of progress out of him in terms of his pass catching or anything else? Quite frankly, he hasn't impressed me that much in camp, which is a shame because I think the Giants could use him as a backup slot receiver to Victor Cruz. I just haven't seen enough from him in practice. I think much like a lot of the guys I talked about, Andre, I think you got to see him do something in the game here to grab the coach's attention, whether it's a big punt return, a catch and run, some type of slot route. I think that's what Drill Jernigan needs to do here. He needs to make some plays in a game to show this Giants front office he deserves to be on this roster.
I mean, I've seen Barton flash in games a couple games since he's been here. At least you've seen it, you know. And I feel like when the Giants drafted Jernigan, they kind of were hoping he would be like, say, Jeremy Curley on the Jets side. You know, he's not flashed anything since he's been here. And one more question I got.
Yeah.
Considering every year Eli Manning seems to go through a slump at some point, whether it be arm tiredness or, you know, inconsistencies during certain games, do you think if that's going to rear its head again this year and we're going to see like a midseason slump again from Manning?
I'm not sure we necessarily, you know, I go back and forth on Eli with this stuff. A lot of times I'm not sure if the necessary slumps or if he just happens to be playing better defenses. Like last year, he struggled at times because Akeem Nix wasn't 100%. So I'm not sure it's fair to say I'm going to characterize him as slumps, but his entire career, Eli has gone through periods of seasons for whatever reason, like you mentioned, and you're right, where he hasn't played that well. I think the Giants' offense this year is going to be one of the best in the league. I think they're going to be a top five, maybe even a top three offense. But are we going to see a few games in a row where Eli Manning doesn't look quite as sharp as he usually does? I mean, right now I'd have to say yes. He's done it every other year he's been in the league, so I don't see why it would stop now, not to simplify it too much. You know what I mean, Andre?
Yeah, I got you.
Appreciate it, Dre.
All right, thank you.
Take it easy, man. Love to hear from my guys in Brooklyn. Hometown borough. We don't get that many calls from Brooklyn. That's disappointing. Considering Lance and I are natives, I think we get a little bit more love. 201-939-4513. Mike's in Virginia. Mike, what's going on? Good morning.
Hey, good morning.
What's going on, pal?
Hey, nothing much. Actually, I wanted to piggyback on what you just said. I was calling in. I spent some time thinking over the weekend. I read all these articles and stuff.
I think this team this year is one of the first to make the playoffs. Honestly, going to have to score on average 24 points a game. Because, when you're asking, who am I most excited about?
Yeah.
I think it's our wide receivers because, Nicks and Cruz, if healthy, are great. And then I think Ruben Randall's really important to emerge because if Nicks decides to leave, so we need really a great core of three at wide receiver. It's just a must. Is it me or this defense is just it's not exciting? And reading the articles, sure, it's to click on the article and to read it, but who's there to get excited about at linebacker? I'm excited about Prince because he's an up and comer on our team. But besides JPP, Prince, and maybe Joseph, who on this defense is really going to make an impact where we're on a third and two is going to stop a play. So my question for you is, do you think we're a top 15 defense? Do you think we're a top, we're the 15-30? And if we so, what's our record going to be? Because I'm not sure, guys. I don't think we're a playoff team if this defense can't step up this year, to be honest.
No, you're right. And, Mike, you hit it on the head. That's really going to be what's going to determine how good the Giants are this year, how well their defense plays. And last year, they're around 30. And you're not going to make the playoffs and succeed if your defense is in the 30 range. Now, do I think this defense is going to, in a blink of an eye, become a top five defense? I think that'd probably be a little unrealistic. I think a good goal, if they could be within, between 10 and 15, I think that'd be a good spot for them. And I think it'd be good enough, considering how good the offense is going to be, for this team to win 11 games.
But and do you think we're going to be better than last year?
Yeah.
Okay, here's my question. What makes you think that we're better last year than this year with what we have?
That's a good question. And I think with Jason Pierre-Paul injury, that does make you a little bit nervous how much better the team's going to be. But I think they'll get better in a couple spots. I think they'll be better in the secondary for a couple reasons. One, Corey Webster's healthy. Two, Prince Amukamara is a year older. He's going to be better. Three, Hosley is a year older. He should be a little bit better. They brought Aaron Ross back. And, look, he's not a star, but he's steady. I think he'll be a solid contributor as depth in the secondary. That's number one. The second big reason I think they're going to be better on defense is I think they are going to be better at stopping the run. I think Colin Jenkins is going to help there a whole lot. I think in terms of stopping the run, OC is quite frankly a little bit of an addition by subtraction doing well against the run. Then you got Hankins, and if Sean Rogers makes his team and is healthy, they'll be fine. I think the run defense will get better, and I think in effect, even with Jason Pierre-Paul not 100% to start the season, if the run defense gets better, you're going to be in more second and third and longs, and just by cause and effect, your pass rush is also going to be better.
I think that I agree with the run, but I'm not sure about a pass rush because Kiwanuka, what's he been, 8 sacks? You're saying 8 from Tuck? So we're basically getting OC production in terms of sacks. I'm thinking the Giants, if we can score and, create a high-scoring game, we put teams in passing situations so that we can sit on that, because I think that's what when you see the Giants play well is when teams have to get away from running the ball and start passing because they like to just, we're going to sit. Because we don't really have really run blitzers at linebacker at all. You're not going to see anybody, blitzing like LT or even I can't think of any real reason. But I want to see how this team is going to play besides Pierre-Paul, if they're going to be able to get to the quarterback. Because I'm not sure Kiwanuka or Tuck are going to be that effective unless it's like a 3rd-and-12, a 3rd-and-8 type situation. And as for Hosley, I like Hosley. I think he's going to be good in the slot, and then that's going to allow Roll to go back to his natural position. Because sometimes we get burnt with that deep ball, and I think Roll being back there is not going to let that happen. So.
No, Mike, I agree. Thanks for the call, my friend.
All right, thanks. Take care.
Hey, I think Mike makes a good point, too. I think there are legitimate questions about the pass rush. They're legit. Last year, the Giants couldn't get to the quarterback second half of the season. Now, I think looking back, knowing Jason Pierre-Paul has the back injury, no pun intended, that's a big reason for it. But if he's back, maybe he's not 100% right away. It takes him a little while to work in. You run into the same problem. Can Tuck bounce back? Can Kiwi be better being an every-down defensive end? I think you'll get a little bit better years out of both of them this year. But are you going to get that consistent 2007, 2011 pass rush? I don't know. I don't know. And I think that's a fair question. And that's one of the reasons I'm excited to see the defensive line playing these preseason games. All right, let's go through some of our final Twitter questions before we say goodbye. We've had a lot of tweets. I haven't had the chance to go through a lot of them, but I'll go through them right now for you. Shy E at G-Men, want to see David Wilson real bad, home run hitter. Nathaniel, Chase Blackburn was good for this team. Why didn't they keep him? Nathaniel, they wanted to get young. They wanted to bring in some youth at linebackers. While Chase was good with what he gave him, he wasn't a star. And when you can get younger, you got to get younger in this league. Let's see. Nelson A. Molina wants to see Victor Cruz. Excited to have him back on the field. A.J. Marshall wants to see Adrian Robinson. He's having a good training camp. Now, I should characterize Robinson's good camp. Like I mentioned before, he has the size. He's shown good hands. He hasn't really dropped the football. But I still want to, next step for me for Adrian Robinson in practice, I want to see him make some catches down the field. I've seen him do some of the short stuff in the flat, some of the short stuff over the middle. I want to see him run that seam. I want to see him get down the field a little bit. I think that'll be good. Jazzy Dog. John, what's going on with Aaron Curry? Is he going to make it? Curry's made some plays. In that way, he's promising. He just doesn't have great movement skills. Watching him in practice, he struggles going side to side, stopping and starting. I think that's a product of his knee injuries. So I think he's shown some ability, but with the Giants playing so many nickel this year, and it looks like it's going to be Jaquan Williams and Spencer Paysinger in those nickel packages, which I think would be a good idea. Both those guys have a lot of speed. I'm not sure how much room we're going to have for Curry. And he would be the sixth linebacker on the roster. There's a chance this team only keeps five. That is a legit possibility. Let's see here. A.J. Marshall, do you think the Giants' run defense will improve this year with Jenkins and Patterson? Well, Patterson has to make the team first, A.J., which I think is going to be pretty close. He's going to be competing with Sean Rogers at the bottom end of that defensive tackle depth chart. I know it's funny. The more I think about it, I could see the Giants keeping 11 defensive linemen. I think they're that talented there. Marco Pereira Jr. wants to see David Wilson. Explosiveness on his touches. Can make big plays at any time. We like that. K. Christine, most excited to see Steve Weatherford. Punters need love too. Okay. Steve's been in good spirits all camp, which is no surprise. Mike Farmer, how did Pugh get his concussion? Are you aware of any past concussion history? I hope it's a one-time thing. Mike, I have not heard of any past concussion issues with Pugh, and a lot of people have asked me that question, and I'm not sure the Giants, well, I know they didn't release when it happened, but I don't even know when it did. It happened in one of the, I think, 11-on-11 drills. He got whacked in the head, either hit on the ground or got hit in the head during practice. I don't know the exact play, but, you know, based on what Coach said in his post-practice press conference, it seems like it was fairly serious. They talked about how he was, like, struggling in the meeting room. Tom Rock asked a good question, implying with the new concussion protocols, maybe in the past, you know, he would have just tried to ignore it and play through it. And Coach is like, well, maybe in some cases, yes, but, you know, this is a point where he could almost not function. This thing would have gotten reported no matter what with the headaches and just not being there mentally. So, seems like it was a pretty big deal. I'm curious to see if he's going to be back and ready to play on Saturday. Right now, I'd probably say not. We'd also hope to see Hakeem Nicks and Corey Webster back from those groin injuries on Wednesday. And really, and that's really the good news here, folks. The Giants have been fairly injury-free in camp. Jay at Plato underscore zero wants to see Reuben Randall and Adrian Tracy. I think those are two good guys. Adrian Tracy has looked very quick out there. I think he's going to be an underrated pass rusher on third downs for the Giants. I'm Poppy at Toby Gleach. Watch a lot of Brandon Myers. He's great at finding the holes in the zone. Is good after the catch. I agree. I think he'll be good. I just answered his Pugh question, and he's excited to see Cox and Hankins, a couple of the rookies. The original G-Man wants to see David Wilson. Alpo wants to see Team Vic back on the field. Another, this one, Beth Abruzzi wants to see Steve Weatherford. Two of the females want to see Weatherford. It's all jacked up. Maybe they got a little crush on Stevie. I don't know. That's funny, though. Out of the two girls going down, both picked Weatherford. Though Stephanie Cornelius breaks the trend, she goes Prince and Mukamara. And I think that is, I agree with her on that. I really do. I think that's a very exciting player to keep an eye on. He's looked very good in practice. And Reuben Randall's gotten the better of him. But Prince has been right there. He's been physical. He hasn't been beaten. He's been Johnny on the spot. He's knocked the ball away. His ball awareness has been terrific. I think Prince has had a really good camp. Ryan Godfrey, does Ruben Randle really looking for a huge year, or are people overhyped? Honestly, Ryan, I think Randle could have a big season if he has enough opportunities, if Akeem Nicks is banged up and doesn't play a lot. Right now, he's still behind Cruz and Nicks on the depth chart, so his snaps are going to be limited. But I believe that if he gets the playing time and the opportunity, he could have a big season, especially with Eli Manning at quarterback. All right, I'm going to go back. I promised you guys I'd go to the day before here. Let's see. Nathaniel last night, who was watching the Hall of Shame game. I did watch the Hall of Fame game. It's always fun to get your first touch of football. The Cowboys clearly didn't play a lot of starters, and that's who the Giants fans would be more concerned with. So you can't tell a whole lot, but two of the weaknesses of the Cowboys last year is their offensive line and their running game, and I thought both looked much improved last night. And their Monty Kiffin, Rob Marinelli defense is designed to cause turnovers. They got two turnovers in that first half, though. Both really were unforced, let's be honest. It's kind of just a handover type of thing. Let's see. What else we got here from Friday? If they can't keep three quarterbacks, then Carr would be out and Nassib in. I'm telling you guys, they're keeping three quarterbacks. That's not a question. Nassib's not ready to be the backup. Nothing wrong with that. Just facts. Just the facts. All right, let's see. We got anything else here? August 1st, that's what I'm looking at. John Murray, the competition between our running backs should bring our run game back to its former glory. Two-headed monster, John. I'm a big fan of what I've seen from Brown and Wilson as well. They're good guys. They have different skill sets, I think. If they can stay healthy, and that's a big if, I think they could be dangerous. Trina NY, I think Wilson is dangerous on kick return, but I don't think he should return kicks. Too much of a workload. Trina, I think they'll use him there, but only in big spots, like in second halves or close games, things like that. They'll save him for special circumstances, like teams used to use Deion Sanders and punts, things of that nature. Let's see. Mike Farmer complaining Lance, allowing everybody to name their 53-man roster. I agree. That's bad radio. Lance, I'm disappointed in you. Everybody, good job on the phones. We'll be back with you tomorrow at 9:30 on Big Blue Kickoff Live on Giants.com. Once again, myself, Lance, and Needham and Paul rotate throughout the week. Thanks for joining us. We'll see you tomorrow morning right here on Giants.com. Everybody, have a great day.